It's the JT the Brick Show.
If you're in a relentless pursuit of finding the competitive edge in everything you're doing, you got to be on.
100%. You know, I expect to win every time I come on the field. I don't care what we're doing. You know what I mean? It's every drill, everything we do. I'm expecting to win.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
This is going to be a battle. This is going to be physical. This is going to be old school football.
Yes, sir. As a great man once said, just win, baby.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Hour number two, JT, right here in Vegas. Thanks for listening. We're brought to you by La Casa Cigars and Lounge. La Casa's open, man, and it's unbelievable, and it's ready to have you out there. Tivoli Village, Mike has opened up one of the premier cigar bars in the world. It's that good. People come from all over the world to go to La Casa. They want to have that experience, the walk-in humidor, the live music, the TVs. It's got a great sports vibe. We're going to be doing something there that I'm happy to announce coming up here on a podcast version. So we want to thank La Casa for everything they do for us. Sam Munson will join us momentarily from the 33rd team. So when the Raiders win, we celebrate it. When the Raiders lose, it gets a little dicey. You know, people pointing fingers, why'd they lose the game? They're 1-0. Kansas City's 0-1. Raiders play the Chargers a week from today, and that's going to be huge here in town. Massive. Massive. So let's celebrate this week. And we had the first hour. We had all the OGs call in. Raider Man, Chris in West Oakland, Raider D, Stoner Dude, Nick in Long Island. I mean, everybody was lining up, man. It felt like in old days back in Oakland when the Raiders were winning more. Now they got to win. They got to win now. And the way they're going to do it is let Geno cook, right? That was the thing with Russ Wilson. Let Geno cook and then get Ashton Gentry going on the ground. You'd like to do that. That's the way to win and get wins. Sam Munson is kind enough to join us every week, and we're going to promote him on the 33rd team. He's one of the best insiders in all of football. Sam, thanks for coming back for another year. I'm going to jump right in. I was on live last night when Buffalo made that comeback. And some of these stats about John Harbaugh blowing leads are now becoming legacy stats. How do you see these Baltimore meltdowns over the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think this one might have been the worst of them all, but you start adding those up along with their kind of postseason failures in the last few years when they've been one of the better teams overall in the league, you know, for multiple seasons now. And it's painting a picture of the same thing. This team is missing a little bit something when it comes to the end of these games. And what's so strange is that you think with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, and obviously Henry's only been there for a portion of that and these collapses, you know, they are built to close out these games. This is a team that was virtually unstoppable on the ground last night until they weren't. And then randomly, it just stopped functioning. Obviously, the Derrick Henry turnover was huge, coupled with the fact that, you know, you're playing Josh Allen, another quarterback that's exceptionally good. But yeah, it's becoming a damning weight of evidence.
What was fascinating to me was Buffalo's defense looked so slow. You had some unbelievable highlights for Baltimore, the Lamar Jackson rushing touchdown, the Derrick Henry rushing touchdown, where Buffalo's linebackers and safeties looked like they couldn't keep up with them. Then we saw DeAndre Hopkins' one-handed catch. All went away. So even though Buffalo won that game, man, that did not look like a Super Bowl defense to me.
No, it didn't. I mean, it wasn't a good performance at all by Buffalo's defense, at least right up until the end. You know, we've seen this before in last year's regular season. It's the way they play defense is unusually poorly suited to defending Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry as a combination. You know, they like playing with those split safety looks. They don't put players in the box, and you can't do that against Derrick Henry and the Ravens attack. They're too good. They're too powerful on the ground. If you give them light boxes, particularly if they're going to show you, you know, read option looks, you literally can't defend it. You don't have enough men in the box to stop those plays being successful. So yeah, that's a real problem, but I think this defense will look, you know, as bad as it's going to look against the Ravens.
Sam, what's fascinating to me is I picked Buffalo to win the Super Bowl over Green Bay, and I have the AFC Championship game, Buffalo at home against Baltimore. And no matter who gets there, Baltimore or Buffalo again, we're still going to have that crazy thought in the back of our minds in January that they both deserve to be there. And is one of those two teams going to blow it? Is Lamar going to start slow in the cold, in the weather? Is Josh Allen's defense going to let him down where he has to score and dominate the fourth quarter? It just doesn't look like it's going to be easy for those two teams. They always seem to be playing in these chaos games that are so dramatic.
Yeah, they do. I think the contenders in the entire NFL across the board now are, I think, all of a level where they can all beat each other up. And, you know, we've got this incredibly deep tier now, I think, of teams that can make noise. And there are a lot of these teams with quarterbacks that are capable of going on a run and playing at the same level as the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. All of a sudden, there's quite a number of these guys. You know, there's a sort of big four of Mahomes and Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. And then you've got guys like Justin Herbert and Jordan Love and Matthew Stafford, and any of these guys have shown that they're capable of definitely having individual games, but having a run of games where they're able to go toe-to-toe with those elite quarterbacks in the league. So I think you're going to see a wide-open NFL this year.
Sam Munson is our guest from the 33rd team. I looked at what the Niners did. Purdy made that great throw late, but Seattle had an opportunity to win the game, and then Bosa blows up the game. I think that was a critical loss for Seattle, considering what's going on with San Francisco, the injuries. Kittle lost that game early. Both the quarterbacks, give me your opinion on Sam Darnold and especially Purdy, who got the $50 million and made a big game-winning drive.
Yeah, it was definitely an opportunity miss for Seattle. I thought Brock Purdy felt like a player that was trying to justify the contract that he just got given, and maybe that's projecting something that wasn't necessarily there, but he was forcing things throughout that game, things that he shouldn't have. And from very early in the game, he was forcing things. And whether that's, you know, the contract and trying to be a sort of bigger part of the offense, whether it's he was missing some players and felt like he needed to do more, whatever it was, I think it was a problem for them in the game. But then right up at the end, that was kind of the signature Brock Purdy play. That's the play that he's been making during his time as Shanahan's starting quarterback that makes him such an important player for this offense, because his best work comes when the answers run out of Shanahan's offense. And when something breaks down and Purdy has to make it happen late in the game or late in the down, and he managed to rescue it again. Yeah, the Seahawks, I think it was definitely a missed opportunity. Overall, I think you have to be encouraged by the defense. I think will be good. But by the fact that Sam Darnold looked a lot more like the good version of Sam Darnold from last year than he did the bad version, and that was very much, I think, an open question heading into the season. So that much they've got to feel good about.
Sam Munson joins us, 33rd team. What'd you see with Joe Burrow? I mean, I looked at the stat sheet. I'm working earlier the day. I'm catching up with all the games, and I see that one. Man, there is something to Cincinnati starting slow, and they do it every year, and we know that now going forward. Why weren't they more impressive in that matchup against Cleveland?
I don't think anyone has the answer to that anymore.
Wow.
You know, this season, this offseason, we thought that the solution to their slow starts was let's actually play starters in preseason. You know, obviously they hadn't been playing their starters and they'd been starting slow. So they're like, well, let's actually give them some work. Let's get them going. And in preseason, they looked sharp. Every time they went on the field in preseason, the first team offense was efficient. It was ruthless. They put up points, and then they just and the weird thing is they started well in this game. Like the first drive, they went down, scored a touchdown. The second drive, they scored, and then it just stopped. So I don't know what to make of it anymore. There was a degree of sense to the idea that, you know, Joe Burrow needs to get into rhythm and needs to knock the rust off every year. And once he's in a groove, that's when it all starts going good and he can go on a run from there. But they started the game well. Like it looked like 5 minutes into this game, it was like, okay, that's it. We solved it. Preseason was the issue and now everything's good. And then it just disappeared again. And they went back to being the week one Bengals from the last few years. I don't think anyone knows now what the problem is.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up with Sam Munson. I thought Geno Smith put up big numbers and the Raiders disappeared for about a quarter and a half, which was really interesting to me. And Ashton Jeanty had a touchdown, but they couldn't get him going. Devin White played great with 11 tackles. Sam, bottom line, that was a Pete Carroll win. He has no problem going east. It's quite amazing how he goes east, and it's never a problem. Had the Raiders not panicking, finding a way to win with Chip Kelly on offense overall, it wasn't a great win. They didn't beat an elite team, but they had to get that win, and Pete Carroll secures his first victory as the head coach of the Silver and Black.
Yeah, and they were aggressive doing it. Both Geno Smith and Pete Carroll, I think, made aggressive calls throughout the game. Geno Smith is that type of quarterback. You know, he wants to go deep. He wants to make those explosive plays. And very early on, you know, we saw that that's the kind of impact he's going to have. And the Raiders have got some speed at the receiver position as well. So I think it's a great match for those guys to be with Geno Smith. And then Pete Carroll, you know, pulled out some aggressive calls as well, going for it late in the game to make sure they kept that win. So, yeah, you're right. They may not be the best opponent in terms of the Patriots and not being a great team, but the Raiders did a really good job and kind of planted a flag to say, look, they're going to be much more competitive this year.
Hey, last one. I love what Aaron Glenn said about this team. You can tell he comes from the Parcells tree. Look, if you're going to fumble a kickoff with the game's over, or you can't cover a guy on a couple of touchdowns, he will get rid of you. And he's controlling the media there, and he's not giving the media any room to play games with him. I kind of think that needs to be done with the culture of the Jets, and I'll follow up with Brian Daboll. He's getting into it with neighbors on the sidelines, and the Wolves are at the door already for him in New York. Assess the Giants and the Jets. They both lose their openers.
Yeah, I know the Jets lost, but I think a lot of good things came from that game. Justin Fields, I thought, looked very good, not just as a runner, but as a passer. The offense functioned. They got some of their star players going. I think they're going to have a powerful ground game. The rookie, Armon Membu at right tackle, basically shut down T.J. Watt. That's a hugely encouraging thing as well. And they made a lot of big plays and were fighting till the end. And it took a lot of kind of plays from them late in the game to make that game a Steelers win. And okay, they did, but I think that's generally an encouraging sign from that, the first game from that regime. Yeah, the Giants, it's already not good. You know, we're hearing that he won't kind of confirm Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback going forward. We knew at some point Jackson Dart's going to come out, going to come onto the field, but it might be sooner rather than later. And look, with no Andrew Thomas, with that offensive line being as it was, I don't know that Jackson Dart being in that game yesterday would have changed anything. You know, Russell Wilson didn't play well, but I don't think he's the source of the problem that they were dealing with. They were just overmatched.
That's it, Sam. Everything's great that you're doing. Appreciate everything. We'll promote everything you're doing. You're a big asset to us on Monday. Thanks for everything.
Anytime. Take it easy.
Sam Munson, every Monday at that time. No doubt. And no hidden agenda. I play that interview at night on my Mad Dog show because I do 3 hours at night. And the voice sometimes is going to need an interview. Like Bobby, our rule, I can replay my content. And the other new rule, as Bill Maher says, new rule. Whenever the coach speaks, you're going to hear him on my show. That's it. And when Pete Carroll speaks, we'll play a portion of it because we have to hear the coach. And then I interview him and you'll hear my interview with him as we get that going. So that's coming up, Pete Carroll's media session from earlier today. Gangster Raider predicted a blowout, but you were right about the Raiders shutting down New England's offense. You nailed that one.
Yeah, what's happening, JT? Just won, baby. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my crew, the Raider Riders out here in L.A. But, yeah, Geno Smith, that's my quarterback. I told you, we got a real quarterback. It was going to make a big difference, and it should have been more than that. Even though we only scored 20 points, JT, you know what I'm saying, we could have scored more because when that Ashton Gentry slipped, I believe if he'd have got that corner, that would have been a touchdown. And if Gene, that long bomb to Thornton, if he wasn't under pressure and could have put his full stride into it, that would have been a touchdown. And also the play where they call didn't call the fumble on Max, that was a touchdown. You know what I'm saying? So that's what, 21 points that could have been on the board. And also even that pass interference, I think that's when they scored their touchdown, when they called that pass interference on that drive. So if they wouldn't have scored that touchdown, it would be even less points for them. But anyway, we got the win, baby. And I'm really impressed with the coaching staff because, right, you know, halftime adjust because the first half, you know, first quarter was good, but the second quarter was kind of iffy. They made the adjustments at the halftime and came out balling. You know what I mean? They made a big difference. And when was the last time we saw that halftime adjustments? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And also, I like the Gentry's game, even though we kept going to him. I know he didn't get off like people thought he was, but it was just because of the field, the first game. Think about it. You know what I'm saying? We can do nothing but get better. And also, I want to give a shout out to Tyree Wilson, he showed up. You know what I'm saying? Trey Tucker, mm-hmm. he showed up like yeah. I thought he would. And Malcolm Coops, he did his thing. You know what I mean? So we did good, and it's only up from here. You know what I'm saying? Game balls go to Devin White and PG, because I think PG mm-hmm. did his thing against Josh yeah. McDaniels, because Josh McDaniels, you know, I thought he was going to get the best of PG because he knew him and probably knew how to attack his defense, but it was the other way around. I think PG shut down Josh McDaniels' defense because I think Drake May's average pass was only 6 yards, and he shouldn't even score the touchdown, but they only gave him that touchdown because of that pass interference. So they did good. Game balls to PG and Devin White. Devin White, ball. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I like the way he got in. So, yeah, Victory Monday. You know what I'm saying? Let's get used to this. And as Raiders are nothing, let's go. Raiders! Keep it gangsta. I'm gone.
Appreciate you. Thank you, man. Appreciate you checking in and calling your shot on the victory. It will be interesting to see what gangsta Raiders' prediction is for the Charger game. Chargers are good. You know what I told a buddy of mine the other day, Bobby? Does Philip Rivers, it's a great bar trivia question, bar trivia. What individual player has beaten the Raiders more than any other player in Raider history? Dating back to 1960, Philip Rivers. No one knows that. You can go in the Raider Nation, now you do. You can go to a bar in Oakland, go to Ricky's, go here, go Whiskey, whatever you want to go. Go to La Casa and say, hey, who's beaten the Raiders more than anyone? Not team, player, Philip Rivers. And I was there for all of it. I think I missed one Charger Raider game because every year I went to San Diego. It was like a vacation for me. And then I went to all the games in Oakland. And I was never worried about the Chargers. I was never worried about the Chargers. Even with Junior Seau, LaDainian Tomlinson owned us. Owned us. Like Kelce owns us, LaDainian Tomlinson owned us. But I never walked in the game concerned. Breaking news. Breaking news. This is the most concerned I've been about the Chargers in a decade. I am concerned about this Charger team. And I think we'll beat them. I think we'll split with them. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't predict games. But this is the first time with that roster and what they have with Joe Alt and Khalil Mack and Derwin James and Ladd McConkey and the new running back that I'm going, all right, these guys are good. Because for a decade, it seemed like Mike Williams or Keenan Allen was hurt. Justin Herbert would make a mistake. I am concerned about the Chargers. And I think the Raiders are going to have to play much better to beat the Chargers. Fortunately, that game is home, and the Raiders are 1-0. If that game was on the road, where we seem not to be able to win in that building, the way the Chargers played in San Paulo, I'd be concerned even more. But we get them at home. And there'll be that one Charger fan, that gal who wears the Viking. She wears the Viking jersey, then the Charger jersey, then the Viking jersey. You know, she's known as a super fan. You know who our super fans are? Gorillarilla, Violator, Our Lady of the Raider Nation, Senor. We got big super fans. Violator, world famous. And they got that gal who switches her jersey and does that. Okay, I'm always nice to women. Always, always respect women. And she's their super fan, I guess. I don't know anybody. Do I have a fan called Lightning Bolt or something who wears something? But we got to win that game. So M rides the luxury concierge shuttle service. It's the same bus the players use. And my wife. My wife will go to the Palms and get on M ride. How cool is that? You can ride like a pro. M ride will take you round trip from Circa the Palms and now the link to Allegiant Stadium. There's no more hassle parking, sitting in traffic, waiting on long taxi or rideshare lines. You see, you come out of some of these concerts. Like, if you're coming out of these concerts, you will not get a rideshare. Uber, it could take you an hour. You got to walk over the bridge to get to Mandalay Bay and beg for a cab. All you got to do is M-ride it the way we do it. And another code. You use promo code BRICK, and they give you a discount. MRide.com. I mean, they are fantastic when it comes to the EDC. And it's our buddy, Tao Johnson. One of my best friends, really, one of my better friends, is Tao Johnson, who played tight end for the Raiders. M-ride it. Go check it out. Let me say goodbye to the bricklayers. Thank you. We need everybody now to step up on the YouTube stream. We're trying to get to some numbers, some algorithms, good ones. So please share with us that we're live on YouTube. Just search JT the Brick. It'll come up, and you'll be on our YouTube channel. You'll make some new internet friends and be able to chat right around the show. We'll be back.
See if they put this in the air. Geno Smith is going to throw. He rolls to his right. He pumps. He heaves. Wet ball for Thornton. One for one. Comes back. Slides and makes the grab at the Patriots 39-yard line. Oh, my goodness. The wet football was like a dying duck. But he picks up 36 into Patriots territory to the rookie.
Yeah, that's something, man. That was a bold call. That was a bold call. Period. Jason Horowitz on the call. Nice job. We're brought to you by Raising Cane's. One love. Hey, Bobby, remind our partners at Raising Cane's, best chicken fingers in the world, the box combo, the buttery Texas toast, the jugs of lemonade and iced tea, Raiders are 1-0. And UNLV, oh, wait a second. UNLV is 3-0. Ho-ho-ho! Did you see that crowd? UNLV 3-0. Raiders 1-0. When was the last time I said that? Raising Cane's, proud partner of the show. They're excited. We're excited for Cane's. Raising Cane's, one love. So we're going to get to Pete Carroll coming up here. A Q is at Silver Sevens. So everybody get down to Silver Sevens. You get to hang out with Q. Drink specials, prizes, all of that is upcoming. So make sure you don't miss this. Jorge in San Jose is kind enough to join us. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, JT? Just, you know, calling in on this celebratory Monday, week one win. You know, just feeling great. It's always great when you win in the NFL, and especially a team like the Raiders, who I think I heard Amber Theo Harris say on the game day post show that it was the first time the Raiders won in Gillette. So, you know, I think that's also amazing, you know, amongst the adversity. But I want to talk about the offense. Like, you know, every single wide receiver had at least one reception. And, you know, when it counted, Jack Besh and Dante Thornton, they caught explosive balls. And I think that just like is a reflection of where the team is, you know, where in the past, you know, on a 3rd and 20, JT, you know, I would get frustrated just like you, where they would just chuck it down. You know, it'd be like a chuck down to someone like Amir Abdullah or like a Raider or a running back or something, or a tight end that split. And you'd just be, you know, okay with it. And you'd punt it back and you'd try to pin them down. But no, you know, I think Geno, with that initial, as long as the offensive line gets that initial push, I know we're still going to be, you know, middle of the pack if we're competitive. And you know, I want to be realistic too. You know, I saw some things with the offensive line that I think need to be improved. It's week one, but with that initial push, I think Geno showed that if he can stand at the in the pocket, he's tall enough also, JT, where he can just look over and throw. And, you know, if you just see someone like Thornton or anyone like that just out in space, I think he's going to try and chuck it, you know. And so, again, if we just get that initial push, even on Monday night against the Chargers, we can try to average score more than 20 points a game. You know, I'd like to see some of those field goals that we converted in the second half into touchdowns. And, you know, as long as our defense, you know, continues to gel together with the young players, you know, it feels great. You know, take it week by week, but I just wanted to call in and say congrats to the Raider Nation, and you know, let's keep it going.
Thank you. Good to hear from you, Jorge. Thanks for checking in. You're right. Geno can make a lot of clean throws in the pocket. Really nice. He can make plays outside the pocket. I think I was not concerned about the pass protection, but they gave up 4 sacks, so that's concerning. I'm watching this Aaron Rodgers performance against the Jets on NFL Live. Oh my God. Did you see him tear apart the Jets for 4 touchdowns? First Steelers quarterback with 4 passing touchdowns in a game since Roethlisberger in 2020. I mean, this guy was legit because the play action. Rodgers is a master deceptor of faking the handoff into the belly, pulling it back. And these guys are wide open. So is Matthew Stafford. I'm seeing another highlight of him throwing against the Texans. That was a big win. Hey, Raider Nation, the Texans losing, that was important for a number of reasons if you look at the Raiders' schedule later on this season. So with everything that's happening here, Raiders are really feeling good about their start. If you want to call in, do it now. We shouldn't have any open phone lines ever, especially on a Monday after a win. So why don't you dial in? We'll get you up after Pete Carroll, 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200 as we continue. So earlier today when I was in the building, Pete Carroll met the media.
Any injury updates?
No.
Pete, you've got a lot of game balls in your day. I'm curious, when Gino handed you that game ball last night, how different was that? What was that feeling?
Yeah, I don't have that many game balls. I got a few. Interesting, a couple of them were the first games, you know, and back all the way back to the Jets, you know. That one I still really like. But it was good. It was nice. You know, nice recognition from G and the fellas.
What did you like most about your second half defense?
Well, I think we picked up from the first half. We played solid the whole game, but we played better. And I thought Pat really adjusted well to what was going on in the game. If you notice, they threw the ball quite a bit. And he adjusted quickly and put us in good positions for rushing and for covering and changing up and disguising and things like that that really worked out for us. And it was a really good surge. You could feel the surge on defense. It's kind of changed the complexion of the game. The first drive of the second half was obviously part of that, but we responded well. I'm talking about for the offense, but we responded really well. And what that showed again to me is that the guys were really comfortable playing in a tight game. You know, at halftime, they weren't flustered about whatever score or nothing. They were tuned in and very determined to finish well. And that's what it felt like we did.
With Orlando going down, can you just talk about, you know, being stout in the run defense and also giving a lot of disguises. Can you talk about what Jamal Adams and Tommy Eichenberg were able to contribute once he went down within that linebacker room?
Yeah, well, Tommy was the one that you know, had to answer the call because, you know, he came, Jamal was in and out of the game anyway, you know, as we were rotating him through. I thought Tommy did a really good job of jumping out there, communicating, doing right, picking up. You know, and not letting that be a factor. Jamal played a nice game too. You know, he was active and moving around. But I really credit Tommy with, you know, coming off the bench, and you know, it's hard to do that and play as actively as he did. So it was really, really good.
What did you think about Caillou Blue Kelly and the performance he had in his first game?
He did a nice job. He got challenged. You know, they went after him and. They throw the ball a lot to the split inside, and he wound up over there, and he had some challenges. I thought that, you know, I totally disagreed with the PI on the play. I thought it was a heck of a play that he made. And he played, he was on guys the whole time. He tackled well and supported well out of the secondary, and the secondary contained situations, and when the ball bounces to the corner, he was there. I thought he played a really nice game.
What switch flip for him? It seemed like in the middle of training camp, all of a sudden he just...
I don't know. You know, I know we haven't really nailed that one, what it was. But there was a shift. And coming out of the offseason, I didn't see it coming. You know, and I didn't see it because he was kind of bouncing around different spots a little bit, put a little bit of nickel and all that. But it was about now probably 3 weeks ago, you know, that there was some clarity here. Something's happening, you know, and there's rumblings coming on where 36 was playing. So we just gave him more chances, you know. Didn't we start him in the third preseason game? Yeah, I mean, that was in response to how he had, you know, picked it up to see what he'd look like, and he's just done a really, really good job. He's using his overall sense and experience that he has, and just ball sense. And I say that because it's an aspect of us as a growing defense that we really, you know, kind of out-leverage the offense, and you make good decisions when the ball's breaking and when the ball goes away from you, how you pursue and all of that. And that containment aspect is what gives you a chance to minimize big plays. And he has a really good sense for that. And so that kind of jumped up in you know, my observations, and Joey thought the same thing. And so we've gone with it, and maybe he'll be back competing again this week.
Targeted, I believe, 8 different receivers yesterday. What can you say about the balance of the offense yesterday and how much that helped you throughout the game?
Yeah, well, that's not been a problem for Gino over the years. You know, he's never just gone to one guy or the other guy, you know, and he's always just taken what the offense gives you, and I think that was a good example of it. Somebody said, you know, was this a breakout game for him? Yeah, it wasn't at all. That's how Gino plays. 70%, 300 and something, whatever, you know, that's how he plays. And He'll have bigger games, you know, in going down, going forward. So, but we really liked the way he played, and I think he was like 13 for 15 or something in the second half, you know, he was a little tight, you know, and you could tell, you know, when he was moving around, he had a little tightness in his hammy or something, he was fine, and he was just on it, and it was a great finish for him too.
I know you have a whole week ahead of you, but what kind of confidence did yesterday's win give you going into Monday night at home?
I think that's a really good observation because that's what I observed. I think that was a good thought. We played really solid throughout the whole game. We were right in it mentality-wise, competitively, situations, communications. We were poised. And, for a first-time team coming out and taking their first shot and the starters are playing the whole game, you had to find out. And it was a really good first step, for us. And there's so many areas to get better and improve on. But that mentality that they carried into the game and carried throughout the game, remember I made comments after the Seattle game that we stayed connected through the next one. And then we stayed connected to the and it carried over. And we were better yesterday than we were at any point in any of the preseason games. So they do feel good. They do feel good about it. And they know that they can play. And they know that we've got guys that can make big plays and make big hits and come through and make big catches and runs. And the Cube's going to do what he's been doing. You know, I mean, all of that, that has to come to light. And yesterday was really valuable for us in that regard.
Talk about areas of improvement. What are some things that you believe that you can see from your interior offensive line that you think could ease Ashner, really make that run game come alive moving forward?
Yeah, we need to be more accurate with our calls in the targeting. The timing of the working together, the double teams, and you know when you can come off double teams and go to the next level. That takes some time to. And the guys haven't played very much together. You know, we haven't in real games, and so. The games helped us some. The practice against the Niners helped us some. But these games will help us get better. And also Ashton was hyped. You know, he was jacked up, and he would tell you, I would think that, you know, he wish he would have been a little more patient on some reads and things like that. That will come. He didn't look like that in preseason. This game, you know, being out there and being called on to play, you know, carried the ball, you know, 19 times or whatever, it was a little bit different for him, and he'll play way better. He'll see things more clearly, and I know he's a little frustrated by that.
All right, that's just a portion of it. There's about another 5 minutes or so, and Q was there. You can talk to Q about it. That Silver Sevens coming up. I thought he was fantastic again. My conversation will be with him coming up. Brought to you by Virgin Hotels, Las Vegas. You bring up their site. It says, "Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas." Great place to stay in their suites. They got some of the best rooms that you could stay in. The suite life over at Virgin Hotels and all the entertainment that they have. You know, the theater at Virgin Hotels, probably the top venue for most concerts in town. You want an intimate experience in a large theater? Virgin does an amazing job. And to dine and drink, you know me, you could always find me at One Steakhouse, sitting right in front of the great J.O.D., John O'Donnell right there. It's my go-to. I go see J.O.D. on either Thursday or Friday. Got a nice beverage waiting for me. Some great food right there at Virgin Hotels, Las Vegas. All right. We're rolling today, man. We got a brand new partner. We welcome Fountain Blue to the show earlier, and we got another one coming up next I'll tell you all about. But first, Jay in Vegas on 920. Hello, Jay. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, thanks for the call, JT. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Man, there's a few things that I noticed yesterday that I'm not really accustomed to seeing. Obviously, you know, everybody's talking about the adjustment coming out of halftime when, you know, in that second quarter, things weren't looking good. I really like that when they came out like a totally different team on offense. When they got Mayer involved and Jack Besh, and then, you know, I know the run game wasn't working as good, but they had Genty chip blocking, and they even rolled them out, you know, for a couple of passes to give them like a different look, keep them on their toes. I really like that adjustment. And on the defensive side, you know, we're used to seeing Max Crosby going up and down, you know, playing on each side of the defensive line, but to have not only Max but Malcolm Kuntz and Tyree Wilson, they were shifting them around. I think that caused a lot of disruption. It definitely played a part in them false starting, and with that interception that Polamalu got when they did that stunt with Max Crosby. That was huge. And, you know, you mentioned Spytek. I know you weren't really too thrilled on the linebacking play yesterday, but, man, for Spytek to get a guy like Devin White, and hopefully Alandon can come back healthy, but to basically redo that linebacking core for the price of what New England paid for Spillane, is huge. That is incredible. And I honestly do think that Devin White does have a lot left in the tank. He's not even 30 yet, so I think he's going to play a big factor, I think, this year. And the one thing, JT, the last thing, you've been saying this for years, JT, and I've been screaming at my TV, and I got to give you your flowers. You've actually told the coaches on the coaches show, how can we play faster? How can we get the play called in? And, you know, we're not screaming, well, me, I didn't find myself screaming at the TV. The play clock's coming down 3-2-1, and I'm yelling, snap the damn ball. Man, those plays were getting called in. There was many times 15 seconds left on the clock, and we already huddled up, called in the play, made the adjustment, snapped the ball. They were playing a lot faster on offense, and, that was just a breath of fresh air that they weren't, you know, waiting 3-2-1. And the defense sees the play clock, and they just know when to strike. So keeping them on their toes as far as not knowing when they're going to snap the ball because they had so much time left. Mm-hmm. So that was big on Chip Kelly. So those are just a few things that I noticed, and I'm glasses half full. And I can't wait for Monday night. So thanks for the call, JT.
Thank you. Excellent phone call. Well in depth. Bobby, I thought I was just a homer. You know, I just thought I only said good things. He said, I said it to the coaches. Yeah, I've said to every coach, how do you play faster? I said it to everyone. That's not a hard question. That's what I should do. Play faster. Gino told me he could get to the line. Gino told me faster than he has ever gotten to before. And there were times, if the Raiders didn't go up by 10, right? Remember when they went up 20-10? I was about ready to start tweeting, go no huddle. It's the only way you're going to win the game. If they weren't, and then they went up by 2 scores, and I was like, oh, okay, now they got some room to run the clock. Hey, I want to welcome Click Hospitality. Wow, our new partner. I want to thank their entire team over there. They are fantastic. I've been looking to partner with them for quite some time. You know, I love a good lounge. And some people like super big nightclubs and certain spots in town. Click is the premier hospitality company. I'm thrilled to partner with them. All of their locations, and the one that I go to, Bel Air at Durango. When you walk into Durango, right through the main entrance, go left, you'll see Bel Air Lounge. And it's right there, and it opens up to the pool. It is beautiful. Love going there. And I will tell you that my go-to number one live music bar in town for quite some time has been Barbershop. And I go to Barbershop when friends are in town after a Raider game. That's the spot at Cosmo. That's one of my go-to spots, too. So I just love everything they're doing. They have lounges, 8 Cigar Lounge, as you know, all their other properties, Gatsby's. When you're walking through Resorts World, you stop by Gatsby's and you see the perfect way a lounge should be run. Thanks to the entire team at Click. When we found out that we were going to partner with them for football season, it blew me away. These are good people, Caspians, Rock and Roll. What they're doing in this town is special. Their spaces are some of the best in the world, and we get to talk about it here in Vegas. Raider Dave is in Denver. What'd you throw? Dave, Denver should have lost. I tuned in on Red Zone. I thought if Cam could make a play, come on, Cam Ward, make a play and beat Bo Nix. They couldn't do it.
They got to take the boxing gloves off their receiver's hands. I couldn't believe it. And then the bonehead play to shove that guy and get a 15-yarder, that was just nuts. So there's no way in the NFL you turn the ball over 4 times and you win a game like that. I just don't understand it. And it's so disappointing for me because I was sure that next Monday night was going to be for the AFC West lead. Now that kind of takes that away, and the Raiders get this at home coming up, and I cannot wait, and I'm sure Max and the boys can't either. You know, I think the kudos really need to go to a few players that are not starters on this team, but because of the coaching philosophy and the competition that they go ahead and promote, it ended up helping the Raiders win this game. For Jack Besh to come in and have a huge catch, for Michael Mayer to step up and then bowl over people to get a crucial first down and then some other receptions, I thought it was fantastic. But when you get a guy that's our middle linebacker, the green dot, to go out with a hurt elbow, and they get Eichenberger in there, that's the spirit of competition. Yeah. They've already put these guys in these positions. They're used to making the play calls, and this wasn't going to be easy when you're going against the McDaniels offense where he's trying to fishhook anything and everything he can to work, and Eichenberger did a fantastic job of that. One thing I'd like to know is what was said between in the probably the fourth quarter. It was a deal on the TV where you could see Carroll walk over to Patrick Graham and say something, and I think they were in agreement. And I want to believe that Carroll said, no zone coverage. I think that's probably what could have been said right there, because it was tightened down, and they really put the heat on it right there at the end of the game to go ahead and close it out.
Thanks, Dave. Excellent phone call. I would agree with that. I don't know what he said. I'm going to talk to Coach this week and see what he was thinking communication-wise, which was really nice. But Coach wanted Caillou Blue Kelly to go man-to-man. Oh, my God. Caillou Blue Kelly, if you like him, he hasn't played a lick in this league. And Coach Carroll's confident with him to go one-on-one? Yeah, because he saw it. That's what he's done. That's what Coach prepared Caillou to do that. Prepared him to do that. And then the same thing with Eric Stokes. Why do you think Eric Stokes was brought in? Because Pete Carroll and John Spytek loved his size and his range, and they thought there was value bringing him in, still at the age. And we're going to see Darian Porter, but that wasn't a game where you could put him out on an island. I don't think Darian Porter putting him out on an island against Justin Herbert and Jaden Daniels is probably going to be the right call. But remember, Caillou is going to have to go up against Herbert and Jaden Daniels back-to-back. And Caleb Williams is looming. Everybody should tune into the game tonight on Monday Night Football to see how good Caleb Williams plays. Because they got three new offensive lines, and they want to get him going. And we see him pretty quickly here. Let me get to Rocky in L.A. Thanks, Rocky, for checking in. What's happening?
How's it going, JT?
Good, thank you.
I'm stoked. You know, it's always nice to have a victory Monday. And I just was really impressed. You know, we played through adversity, a few mistakes here and there, and we recovered. And how about all those big plays? Even Pete Carroll was surprised that it was either the first or second most plays over 20 yards, I think, in a game. And, you know, the defense played okay in spots, but they always kept the contain, you know, kept the pressure on. And the effort from everybody was really evident to me, you know, guys playing all the way through the whistle, no matter if the play's on the other side of the field, and including Jacoby Myers, you know, all the issues with his trade request and all that, and he's taking on four or five defenders every play. And, you know, it was just really good to see and to know that we have a coach and coordinators and a quarterback that we can trust and that we have a chance in every game, you know. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, it is an exciting time. Thanks for the call. I think it's really exciting at this stage when we can talk about what they can do with good coaching, good quality coaching, and how the coaching can put the players in the right place at the right time. We know this isn't a perfect roster just yet. Every year I kind of say the same thing. We're 1 year away, one more draft, and one more free agency class away. Get some good players on this team. Brock Bowers, Max Crosby, Ashton Jeanty, Geno Smith, Michael Mayer. There's some good players on this team. And there's some great pizza at Grimaldi's. Four locations here in the Valley. Boca Park, on the Strip, the Grand Canal Shops at the Palazzo. Southwest Vegas on South Rainbow and in Green Valley on Eastern. It's the best pizza I've ever had. $50 Grimaldi's gift cards. They're flying off the shelves. We got a stack of them. We're going to give them away. We're excited about that. Q's coming up next at Silver Sevens.
Smith in the shotgun. Jeanty to his right. He's going to throw. He pumps right. He's got all kinds of time. Looking for Bowers. Near sideline. Leaps and grabs at the 45. And he rolls his way out of bounds near midfield. They'll mark him at the 49 on a pickup of 29.
Jason Horowitz, nice job on all of these calls, huh? Q's coming up at Silver Sevens. We want to thank M Resort Spa and Casino. A lot of Raiders hanging out there. As you know, the pool's fantastic. Concerts all the time. Anthony's the restaurant there. We really enjoy that. So we want to thank the new partners that we aired today, Fountain Blue and Click Hospitality. Fantastic that they got in time for a Victory Monday. So we greatly appreciate that and all of our proud partners here. Tonight, I'll be on Mad Dog Sports Radio. That's 8 to 11. Used to be 7 to 10. 8 to 11. Okay, I can handle that. We got the coaches interview a little bit later on in the week. And those watching in Vegas, the TV show today, Raiders Roundtable with Eric Allen. Excited that they won. I really am. This week would have been a little bit different if they went 0-1 into the Chargers. Got a chance to go 2-0 in our building for the home opener. I feel really good about that. And it's going to be a big week with the Canelo fight and the Crawford fight. Canelo Crawford in town. This is why you're in Vegas. Again, listen to Q and come see him at Silver Sevens. You should be able to get there in plenty of time in Vegas. Have a great rest of the day, everybody, and thanks for listening to Raider Nation Radio.
Thanks, guys.